We circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe. And I see my partner, my original partner, with me tonight. Hey, Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. Hey, my friend. Hey, take your mute off.
Yeah, okay. You can hear me okay now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, very good.
And then I've got, and also one of my other faithful partners, Mike Ward. Hey, Mike. Mad Mike from the Mad Mike and Wild Wheel Coast to Coast show. Mike, you on mute. Okay.
Yeah, yes, he's on mute.
I'm on mute because I wanted to be on mute.
Well, I understand that because now the time to start the show is now, Mike. Now, I'm already having trouble out of the two lady co-hosts, that's on the show. I don't need this from you right now.
You know, the way I see this is when I get here, the show starts. I don't need you to tell me when the show starts.
Well, that's a little narcissistic, isn't it?
Huh? Come on, that's Dr. Demery. Back me up here.
Dr. Demery. See.
Yes, sir.
Mike was on, I'm not going to disclose the, location, but he was like an investigator for, sheriff's department, right? Mm-hmm. And the rumors that I have is that he was always the troublemaker of the, department.
All true.
for 30 plus years.
I will not deny any of that. I'll own it. I was the one. I had a huge spoon. It was a wood spoon, the one your grandma used to beat you with.
And
I used to stir. I used to stir that pot. Oh man, it was like three witches in a cauldron.
Yeah, but that also started from your childhood, Mike. You've always been.
What's your point?
Okay, never mind. Okay, welcome to the Boomerang Radio Show.
Hi, y'all.
Man. Okay, I guess the professor, Danny Tisdale, he might be out on assignment. But, Mike, you texted me something earlier about our other two co-hosts. And Dr. Demery, you can weigh in on this, anyway, you know, when you get a chance. Now, Mike is here. You're here. I'm gonna give Danny a pass because it's not his thing. But Ann Wooten Taylor, the judge, our great friend, and Dr. Sims, they think because we had a holiday on last Thursday that it extended all the way to Sunday. Dr. Demery, I just want your take on that. What do you think about this?
Well, William, I would say this, because, you know, my mouth always gets me in trouble. All I'm going to tell you is my name is Bennett. I ain't in it.
No.
That's between you and Mike.
We all have something in common here.
They'll start whining like a mule, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to, you know, I agree with you guys, but, you know, I'm
Bennett. That's a smart man right there.
Yeah, he's married. See him nodding his head. Mike, do you have any commentary?
I sent you a text.
So yeah, yeah, well yeah, that's exactly right. That's why I expect you to step up right now.
I'm with Dr. Demery.
No!
When you're in a deep dark hole and you're digging, at some point when it hurts, you should probably stop digging. Because it'll all come back and get you.
They were very good. Thank you so much. And I got yours too, William. Very good.
What's that, sir?
I said I got the text that Mike had sent and also got yours, relating to those charlatan preachers. So it was very good.
Man, oh man, oh man. We're going to try to get into some of that too, because if you notice, I want to talk about a couple of things. We do a segment each and every year, and it's something that we really need to do more than just once a year. Mike, I think we need to do this at least once a quarter. for, I don't care if it's a 15 minute segment, 30 minute segment, or whatever it is. And that is what you, do and what you have done. And especially with you, where you're on the, in the sheriff's department, refuse to be a victim is a program that I don't know what, did you start that program or did you just enhance the program?
The department asked me back when, Gary Penrod was sheriff. They asked me, say, hey, Mike, you do a lot of public speaking on our behalf. Can you put together something that would benefit seniors?
Okay.
Because as our department sees it, and I think as the world sees it, there's two vulnerable places in society. And the two most vulnerable positions in society are the very young and the very old. And they are taken advantage of. Well, the very young usually, hopefully, God, I certainly hope so. They're looked after by parents, by school teachers, by the clergy, by the church, by babysitters, whatever. So the very young usually has some kind of supervision. The problem with the very old, the seniors in our society is their kids grow up, they move away, they go to another state, or they're not close by to check on their parents and such. Mm-hmm. And they become very vulnerable, especially because of the way cyber technology is. So they get taken advantage of over the computer. There's people knocking on their door, telling them stuff that's not true, or in some other form or fashion being taken advantage of. And then you have one of the spouses dies. So now you have a lonely senior person that has nobody to lean on. Maybe a neighbor, perhaps, but they become very vulnerable to the scams and such over the phone, over the computer, people knocking on their doors, when they go shopping, when they go to the bank. I mean, William, you've talked about, people that you've been aware of where they leave the bank with cash and they get taken advantage of outside the door, some kind of scam.
Yes, sir.
Or they get robbed, just straight up robbed.
Right.
Leaving the bank because people know they watch them do a transaction. They know they have cash on them. So they take advantage of them in the parking lot. So this is, I was actually
Mike, let me ask you this. Let me just make a comment and I want you to continue. This will take 15 seconds. I do know and knew of this gentleman personally and he was scammed out of $10,000 coming out of a bank. By some slickster, and I don't know what the conversation was that made this man think that, yeah, this is going to work. Because he was an intelligent man. He was an elderly man. But these guys, what I'm going to say, Mike, and I want you to elaborate on this. These guys are skilled.
Slick.
Please continue, Mike.
They are slick. So once again, Sheriff Penrod asked me to develop a program for seniors. So I put together this program that we called Refuse to Be a Victim. And it ended up being so popular and requested because as people went to the program, the senior citizens started telling their children, their grandchildren, and they were all in school and it just developed into a program where I started doing it for high schools, for colleges, I did one for a boat club, believe it or not, for a boat club or the Eagles or the American Legion or whatever. So I ended up doing I opened up the program to pretty much everybody, which the department appreciated. And they were very kind to me and let me do whatever I thought it was necessary to explain to people, hey, you can choose not to be a victim when you walk out your door every day. You don't have to be a victim, but you have to be vigilant. You have to be aware of your surroundings. Dr. Demery knows, situational awareness and protecting yourself in ways that, that don't open yourself up to being a victim. How you light your house, how your bushes are around your house. When you pull into your garage and you're trying to shut your automatic door and stuff, does somebody sneak underneath it before it gets closed? What kind of locks you put on your door? There's type 1, type 2, and type 3 kind of locks. Nobody knows that. So it's just about being proactive with protecting yourself at home, at school, at work, when you're driving. Do any of you think about which lane you drive in? Nobody thinks about which lane you drive in. What's the safest lane for you to drive in? On a single lane street, on a double lane street, on a freeway that's four lanes? What lane do you choose and why? Nobody even thinks about stuff like that. Do you know your car will drive on the sidewalk? Yeah, it will. Your car will drive on that sidewalk. If you have to get out of a situation, drive on the sidewalk. You know, don't hit any mailboxes or telephone poles. But if you have to protect yourself by doing stuff that's not normal, but you can explain, hey, I was in danger. You're damn right I drove on that sidewalk.
You're doggone right.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff that people don't think about. And that's why I refuse to be a victim. It's about a 2-hour program. But I like the way that you're thinking, William, because here on Boomerang or any one of the shows that we do here, I can break it down into like little 10 or 15 minute segments where I address one of those items that I just brought up a minute ago. So it can be broken down, but to do it in its entirety, it's about a 2-hour program.
Yeah. But we're going to continue this right now because you said a couple of things here. Okay. Ladies, I want you to talk about a couple
of
things.
Stop carrying a purse. Sorry, I got excited.
No. That's where you were supposed to jump in. You're right on cue. Why should ladies stop carrying a purse?
Well, and I know Dr. Demery has his law enforcement background, so please jump in anytime, sir.
Please, Dr. Demery.
Put yourself in the mindset of a criminal. Of people that are evil out there, the wolves in society that are preying upon the lambs, the sheep. Where's all your cool stuff, ladies? Where's all your cool stuff? What's in your purse? Your license, your credit cards, your keys, the address to your home.
Come on.
Cash. All that stuff, you put it in one convenient place and the criminals know it. The bad people know where all your cool stuff is. It's in a thing called a purse. And you carry it around on your arm or your shoulder, or you sling it across your neck, which is even worse, because that purse now becomes a weapon to be used against you. They grab that purse, and you try to hold on to it. That's just your instinct. So what do? They pull you to the ground. They beat you with it. Wrapped around your neck, and they're choking you with it. It's just so many scenarios where if you got to carry a purse because you have feminine needs in there, some makeup in there, some other stuff in there, sunscreen, whatever, lip balm, whatever, that's fine. Put that in your purse. But know that your purse doesn't have value so you can let it go. Because your license isn't in there, your car keys aren't in there, your cash isn't in there, your ID is not in there, your home address isn't in there. Put that somewhere else. Get a little like a phone carrier where your phone's there, your credit cards are there, your cash is there. And that is a very small item to grab a hold of.
Right.
So the bad guys know they can get a hold of that big ass, big old purse.
No, ass is fine.
I apologize, everybody. They know they can get a hold of that big purse. They know they can get the straps on that purse. They can grab that. But it's much harder to get a hold of just a little cell phone carrier.
That's right.
So, because you can carry it under your armpit, or the ladies that like to put stuff in, you know where, up front, and it's very much, it's a very difficult thing to get a hold of a small item as opposed to a very large item. Mm-hmm. And if they get a hold of that little clutch purse or that little cell phone carrier, they can't drag you to the ground. They can't beat you with it. They can't use it as a weapon against you. So ladies, please do me a favor. Stop carrying a purse, at least a purse with your valuables in it.
That's right.
Because all the evil out there in the world, they know where all your cool stuff is. So stop it.
I would say too that I know this is not something that not everybody can do, but I think you have to think about it and begin to come up with some type of a progressive alternative. I mean, me and my brother, we switched off weeks taking care of my mom. He would have her 1 week, I'd have her 1 week. And my mom was 96 years old, and William can attest.
Bless her.
My mom was a spicy tart, believe me. But I know that she was very vulnerable and accessible, and she would be one of the ones that the crooks would want to go after. So we basically told her, Mom, before you do any transactions over the phone, before you do any type of business on the internet, let us see it. You know, I mean, even today, right now, I have to have my wife check some stuff. Because I've been scammed a couple of times. I have my wife look over stuff when I'm either buying things on the internet or doing transactions. I said, honey, here, come and look over this real quick before I hit the send button or agree button or whatever. So I think what you have to do, I think if you have elderly parents in particular, if they're not in a home or something like that, I think you have to make the sacrifice to take care of them. So when my mom wanted to go to the store, I took her to the store once or twice a week on my week. My brother would take her once or twice a week on his week. So she never had to really want for anything. And I know that's hard for some people because you work, and I was working at the time and all that. But we just made it happen, you know, and I think you have to do that. It was not feasible for me to get my mom a gun because I didn't want her to have one in the person herself.
In a way from her use gun.
There's situations where that is possible. So I think you got to weigh out the situation, particularly with elderly folks, particularly if they're in your family, your parents, and weigh out what's going to work best for them and for you to give them protection. I mean, it's just like everyone in their home has some level of protection. They have a lock on their door. They have a lock on their gate out front, and they may have, you know, some form of protection in their home. So, you know, as a matter of fact, probably the beginning of the year, I've already committed to this. I'm going to take my wife to the range and teach her how to shoot because I want her to know if I'm not here, she needs to know how to take care of herself. We're in a really relatively protective area because we've got a gate out front. Our doors are usually locked. But if some were to come in, you know, I've got her a 12-gauge shotgun with double barrel. And all you do is point in the general direction and pull the trigger. You don't have to do no aiming. You don't have to get a feed or nothing like that.
Yeah, buddy.
All you do is point it in the general direction, and it sends out, you know, a spread of pellets about 12 or 13 inches wide and about 12 or 13 inches high. And if you don't hit them, you're going to scare the hell out of them.
They go leave.
You have to take... because we live in a drastic society.
Man.
You have to take drastic measures.
It's amazing.
And, you know, like the philosophers have told us, every reaction forwards a reaction.
That's exactly right.
So you have to be prepared for nowadays just about anything.
That's
I'm prepared for if a comet hits the house or a meteor hits my backyard or something. But I think you have to be
You have to.
Or whatever situation that may come. And you have to have an emergency kit in your house. What do you do if the power goes out? What do you do if there's a fire? What do you do if you have to get evacuated? I mean, nowadays you have to have contingency plans in order. And if you don't do that, you're just asking for yourself to befall whatever situation occurs. And
so you're going to fail. If you don't think about these things that Dr. Demery's talking about right now, you're going to fail because things happen.
Absolutely.
You know, I live out in San Tim Mateo Canyon of Redlands and they hit the power poles out here with the cars all the time. My power goes down at least once a month. At least once a month, I lose power out here and it's down for like most of the day. So I actually have three generators. I have a small, medium, and a large generator. The large one runs my well. The only way for me to get water is to have that large generator here. And then I always make sure I've got backup for gasoline to run the generator.
You have to
think about the whole lineage here.
You have
of what you have to do to prepare. So,
and I mean, that's what it all comes down to. You weigh out your particular situation, your loved ones. But my mom took care of me a good portion of my life. And then it turned around that I had to take care of her. And so it wasn't that it was a hard thing. I mean, I had the chance to move out of the state, but I chose not to. I chose to stay here, you know, to take care of her because she needed me and she needed my brother. So, you know, it is a one of laying down the cards and saying, okay, let me lay these things down and look at it and weigh it out and see what's the best. I mean, now, you know, William, you know, I know his mom is up in age. Well, I mean, she passed away, but I was thinking maybe before she passed away, there was things he probably wanted to do to make sure she was safe and taken care of. You know, I don't know about your family situation, Mike, but I think as kids of parents who are generally older or elderly, if they're not passed away, I think we have to take contingency plans to take care of them.
That's right.
And yeah, it may be a sacrifice. It may be, you know, maybe I don't want to say an inconvenience. It wasn't an inconvenience for me to take care of my mom, but it was something that I knew I had to do and I was obligated to do it. And it's the same thing you have to do around your house. I mean, you have to have certain contingency. Maybe getting a dog, you know, they'll bark or let you know when someone's in the yard or someone's right. coming by or something. Something, you know, you have, just like you have an alarm clock to help you wake up in the morning. You need to have, what? I think, certain
fire alarms in your house.
Smoke alarms. You know, some of the new houses already have them in there.
Absolutely. You know? And guys, you know what? I'm telling you what. I didn't know. I wanted to make sure that with this program that Mike instituted, if I may say that, Mike, about refuse to be a victim. And I mentioned on our last broadcast that I wanted to showcase this or bring it up this week. And I'm thoroughly enjoying the dialogue that the three of us are having. And I want to invite anybody that's on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, on any of one of my social media pages, Studio W_Buzz, please leave a comment. Folks, I truly believe that the discussion that's going on right now can save somebody's life. I know it will, because we need to be more vigilant of our surroundings. We're not saying don't have a good time. We don't want you going around paranoid, looking all the time, but be vigilant. Put things
it's okay
in place.
To be a little paranoid. You don't have to go nuts about it, but yeah. At least a little bit paranoid. And let me
go ahead, Mike.
Piggyback on something Dr. Demery said, because as children, we have our parents, and our parents sacrificed to care for us and look after us and make sure we weren't taken advantage of or damaged or hurt in any way. So our parents did all that for us. They're sacrificed. Well, at some point in your life, what happens is you have a juxtaposition of where you are as a child and your parents. And what happens is you end up swapping roles. Like Dr. Demery said, you end up now kind of parenting your own parents because their faculties aren't as great anymore. Physically, they can't do what they used to do. I know I have, you know, from all the fights and stuff I've been in with the department with going after bad people, you know, my body's kind of tore up from the floor up and I can't do what I used to do. So at some point as children, you naturally become the caretaker and the parent. And that's your obligation, as Dr. Demery said, because your parents sacrificed for you. And at some point, you need to sacrifice and do the right thing for your parents.
Right.
So, Dr. Demery, thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate it very much.
Right. Hey, Mike, the issue is that with you and Dr. Demery and myself included, and I'm sure the rest of our panel, we believe that. My issue is that you have some sons, daughters, or whatever it is, that don't give a damn about their parents.
Shameful.
It
is shameful.
It's a whole different conversation between the three of us versus some other people that say, hey, I've heard people say, I can't wait for them to die. They're waiting for the insurance policy. I remember one absolute true story that And I was living here before I moved to California, and I was in the home improvement business. And I went to this couple's house, and it seems like the couple themselves, they were up in their late 80s, you know, just elderly people. Nice home, beautiful property. They had one son. One son. And they put him paid for everything, put him through school. He became a lawyer. And I'm sitting in the backyard because they wanted some home improvement done to their home. And I was in that industry at that time. And this beautiful, beautiful couple, they were telling me this story about them and them bringing up their son. And something that really broke my heart was that the dad told me that he had an appointment, a doctor's appointment, a few days ago before I met them. And that the son really didn't have time for them and was pissed off because now this little brat that they did everything for didn't have time to take his dad to the doctors. He said, I'm going to do this one time. This is my last time taking you to the doctor's office. The next time you call me, yeah, I'm going to take you to the doctor's office. Then I'm going to take you and throw your ass on the back porch and just leave.
I need to interrupt for a second here. I live in Redlands. And the family home the family home was in Oxnard, which we still own, us three kids, cause both my parents are gone.
Man.
But I would drive from Redlands to Oxnard to take my dad to a doctor's appointment that lasted 15 minutes just to make sure that he was getting the medicine he needed, make sure he was taken care of. And I would call him constantly on the phone and make sure, hey, Dad, did you take your medicine today? But I would drive, and for those of you that are listening around the world, from Redlands to Oxnard is about a 2.5-hour trip. I would drive 2.5 hours gladly. It wasn't a job. It wasn't a chore for me. It was I needed to do what my parents did for me. I needed to look after them. So, yeah, 2.5-hour drive to take my dad to a hospital visit or doctor's visit for 15 minutes was not a chore. And then I got to spend the rest of the day with him. So, yeah, I just don't understand the mindset of people that don't give a damn about their parents anymore.
Dr. Demery, that really, it touched me in a way that felt, it was just so uncomfortable. To understand that you got a brat that has been given everything in his life. Great home, great schools, anything, because this family they weren't impoverished. They put this clown through law school.
Gave him a career.
Gave him a career. And he couldn't be bothered because his dad needed to go to a doctor's appointment. What? Now, conversely, there are some cultures in the world that will honor the elderly.
Yes.
And we do not do that here as much in the United States. Dr. Demery, I would really love to hear your take on this.
Well, I think, you know, the basis for this, and I'll let Mike take it on, but I think the basis is the foundation, because you can raise people up, you know, I think in a right way, if we can put that as a quote, but it doesn't guarantee how they're going to turn out. And
yeah.
So I think, you know, you have some people that are just Johnny Lowcrotches, you know. No matter what, you can give them the best of this and the best of that and the best of that, and they still turn out to be, you know, recalcitrants. And so I think
losers.
It's about character, it's about honor, It's about dignity. Like Mike was saying, you know, it was a joy for him to go spend time with his dad and take his dad to the doctor. Same thing with me. I didn't see it as a burden, you know.
Right.
I thought it was something that I needed to do, not that I had to do or I was obligated to do, but it was something that I had to do because I knew the importance of caring, and I knew the importance of vulnerability, and I knew the importance of what my parents had done for me. So, you know, I think I was just giving them back a little bit of what they gave me. And I think, I mean, it's hard. The difficult thing behind this, William, I think part of what maybe you were being frustrated with, it's hard to instill that into people. You can talk about it. You can tell them about it, but it's hard to instill that in them and get them to realize that, hey, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here, you know, and you're just giving back a little bit of what they gave you. And, you know, to me, it's just kind of a natural thing. But for some people, you know, they just don't get it. And it comes down to a couple of simple things. One thing particularly in general that I'll let Mike comment, it's greed. People are greedy and selfish, you know, and they only care about number one, me and what I'm doing, what I want, and they don't care about anybody else. I would suspect that this guy, if he was in a relationship, he treated his girlfriend, or if he was married, William, the same way, that it was always about him, I, me. Mm-hmm. And those type of individuals, unfortunately, as we, you know, we're talking in another discussion, those are the people that are in power that make rules about our country and make rules about our lives. And that's a shame.
That is a shame.
You know, it's what happens. The only thing we can do is do what we can do. And you can't be responsible for other people. But maybe some people might see the example, you know, that Mike was doing with the program he was running. You know, I know my mom's next door neighbor used to always say, well, I wish my kids would take care of me the way your son takes care of you. But, you know, what can you do?
Oh, this ties perfectly, Mike, back into the topic. Refuse to be a victim. Okay? And let me tell you how we're going to tie this thing together. Because the dad at that point should have picked up a baseball bat. He was complaining to me about his brat son. Now, Lord Jesus, my heart went out to the elderly couple.
Yeah.
Who raised him. Some point, come on, let's back up 1 second, folks. Mike, I want you and Dr. Dimmer, this is going to be interesting.
Mike, hold on,
you're going to have the mic. I promise you, Mike, pardon the pun. When did you find out that your brat ass son was a brat?
Hello? You raised him. How did you raise him? Like Dr. Demery said.
Come on.
You need to live your life with honor, integrity, and doing the right thing. If you don't have honor, you don't have integrity, and you have no sense of doing the right thing, somebody didn't raise you right. Somebody maybe should have taken that wooden spoon and maybe whacked your bottom a little more till you understood honor, integrity, and doing the right thing. And I was raised that way. I had two great, great, great parents. You know what? Let me tell you something.
Go ahead, Mike.
There's a question out there on the internet that says, if you could spend 1 hour in heaven, who would you spend it with? And people say, well, Abraham Lincoln, or I want to talk to Hitler and find out what was his motivation. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to this person. I want to talk to that person. I want to spend my time in heaven, my 1 hour time in heaven. You know who I want to spend it with?
My mom. My mom.
My parents.
Man. My parents. Absolutely. Dr. Dimery. As much compassion and, good Lord, perhaps these parents that I was talking about, they spared the rod. Now, I'm not saying abuse your kids. You know, like when my grandma broke that branch off the damn tree and beat my ass to death.
On your little skinny butt.
Shut up. Mike? Mike? I didn't ask for commentary, Mike. I really didn't at that point. Because
my commentary is free.
It's still painful. Dr. Demery, look, we know how many decades that happened ago. I still feel the pain. Mm-hmm. My parents did not spare the rod. No, they did not. Oh, Lord. No, good Lord. Okay. That's a whole nother story. It's painful. My point is, you've got all the money you need. You got a great house. You got a great career. You and your wife. And you got one son. One child. Now, my mom, she reared 8. A single mom. Good Lord. If she's not in heaven, then I ain't getting there. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't going. If she's not there, because I know how she lived her life. Grace, honor, respect, and love. That's who my mom was.
And that's why I want to spend my hour with my folks.
Man,
second to that, and very important to me as well, not just spending that hour with my folks, but I would like to spend that hour with my pets. You know, I had great dogs when I was growing up. I love my pets more than I like people in general, because at least they're honest. No, I'm serious. At least your pets are honest with you. They give you unconditional love, and all you got to do is like look after them a little bit, and they just will love you. So yeah, I'd like to see my pets.
Well, I don't want to see mine because one of mine pooped on my dog on bed one night because I spanked him. So no, I don't care about that.
Bit you in your little scrawny butt.
But the point, Dr. Demery, is that these were beautiful people that I'm talking about. And I want to get back to more of refuse to be a victim, because there's some other things that I want Mike to highlight that we really need to pay attention to. And this beautiful family or couple, they were victims of their own circumstance, and they thought they were doing the right thing. They didn't believe in spanking their child. They didn't believe in, you know, you got little Johnny over here. Little Johnny, wah, 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 I want this. You give Johnny this.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. So now you have created an individual, 16, 17, 18, and you're always giving up to him throughout college. And now, once you say no, they can't handle it.
Yeah, they throw a tantrum. Yeah, you created your own monster.
Well, I don't want to be a racist. I don't want to be a racist, William, but I guarantee you that probably was not a black family.
It was not. It was not.
I don't think that's racist at all. And by the way, I agree with you.
Yeah, it was not, Mike.
Because Dr. Demery. In an area in Oxnard called La Colonia, or at least I was right on the edge there. So most of my friends and family were Hispanic. And I'll guarantee you the Hispanic families did not put up with that crap.
Yeah.
No, they would, they did not spoil or spare the rod. They did not spoil their kids, because they wanted their kids to grow up with a great work ethic and make money for the family and benefit the family. So if you did something stupid, it wasn't all focused on you. You shamed your entire family.
Yeah, come on.
You shamed your family. And again, because I grew up in a very ethnically balanced area where I grew up was like maybe a third black, a third Mexican, a third white, you know, spattering of some Asian. So I grew up in like a really, really good environment because I was exposed to all these different
cultures.
Yes. Thank you, William. Yeah, all these different cultures. So I think that balanced me as a human being, and I got to see everything that was going on with the other cultures, and I appreciate it to this very day. And I'm old. I just thought it was a really good way for me to learn and experience other things. And yeah, you're right, Dr. Demery, you're right. Some of the white families that I grew up around, oh, little Johnny, no, he's just sensitive. No, he's not sensitive. He's a little. You guys take it from here. I gotta clean up my life.
No, you're doing right. You know, the thing about it, Dr. Demery, is that we are not doing our children any favors.
No service at all.
By succumbing to, wah, 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 I want this, I want that. It doesn't. Give an example. You have a child that is already a few pounds more than he or she weighs at the age of 3. And they're whining for more food. You give them a bag of potato chips. Or you give them some cookies.
Twinkies and ding dongs, yeah.
So it's all about us as parents, grandparents, or whatever it is to say, hey, wait a minute, hold it. Certain things are logical, certain things are not. Think about this, Mike and Dr. Demery. Growing up, we didn't have all of the advances that we have today. We didn't have Google. We didn't have internet. We didn't have any of these AI things that's going on right now. But to me, you think of the logic of reasonable thinking parents versus parents today. It seems like to me we're a hell of a lot dumber. Well, how does that happen, Mike? Dr. Demery, you've got more advanced, you've got information right now at a fingertip. The three of us had to read. But we're dumber. Dr. Demery.
Well, I think it comes down to just some real basic things. I mean, William, that how important it is, and Mike, I'm sure you would agree with this. Basic things in life you need to teach kids. And I told this story once, Mike. William probably remembers it. We have to teach our kids fiscal responsibility. And, you know, my parents, I had a checking account my first year of high school. I learned how to balance a checkbook.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I'll make it real quick.
Take your time.
It's a story about a mini bike. When I was growing up, I wanted this mini bike when I was in junior high school. And
I remember
whining about it. You know, I was whining like a mule. I wanted this mini bike. And so one day, my father took me down to the shop where they were selling them at. And he said, well, which one? I said, there it is. That one right there, Dad. That one right there with the black feet and all that kind of stuff. And my dad said, well, pay the man so we can go. The moral of the story was, you know, he said, you know, you just don't get things in life. You know, I had to go get me a paper route. I had to go do some cutting lawns in order to get this mini bike. And what we ended up doing was, because he was, you know, I think wise beyond his years, he went and bought this kit, and we built the thing together.
Oh.
This was something father and son did together to put this mini bike together. It was a project that we did. And so I think that's what we have to do more and more today as parents. We have to listen to our kids. I mean, one of the things my daughter used to always say,
to me. She said, "Dad, you know, you gave me this and you gave me that and you took care of me, this and that and the other. But the thing that I enjoyed the most was spending time with you."
Wow.
And that speaks volumes to what parents need to learn about listening to their kids, because they have things to say too. And when you listen to them, you can find out what their needs and wants, what their aspirations are, what their idiosyncrasies are. And, you know, I was raising a biracial daughter, so I really had to listen to her and the things that was going on. And she was, you know, my daughter is really tall. She's like 6 foot, you know, like 6'1". And so I had to deal with her height and her size, because she got teased about that too, being half black.
She got bullied, yeah. White,
you know, in a crazy society. So I had to spend time with her. Me and her would just go to the park and just sit and talk. And I think that's important for parents to do. Not just, okay, well, I'll buy them a Nintendo. I'll buy them a new CD. I'll buy them this video game. Turn the TV off. Turn the damn phone off and sit down and let's talk. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the coffee shop and sit down and talk. And you have a hot chocolate and I have coffee. But nowadays, kids drink coffee anyway. But, you know, you have to spend time, teach them fiscal responsibility. And as Mike would always say, you know, it's not always where the money is.
Right.
You know, it's where your time is and where your heart is.
Yes.
You know, the Greek word for treasure is, you know, when Jesus talked about the parables of the treasure, it's where your heart is and where you spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we spend more time with our kids, spend more time with our elderly parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, and take time to do that, we're going to find that it's time well spent.
Wow. Well my, said, my friend.
My folks, to agree with Dr. Demery, my folks did something that's very similar to what happened to him with his upbringing. My dad and my mom told me, you can have whatever you want. You want that mini bike? Fine, you can have it. You want a car? You can have it. You want these things? But you know what? You make the money and you can buy it. And I thought, well, you know, okay. But I was mowing yards. I was mowing the yards for the elderly ladies in the neighborhood. I was mowing yards from the time I was probably 10 years old. So I mowed the yards. I had a paper route after that.
That's
I worked
right.
at a little store called Palm Market, there next to La Colonia. And I swept floors and I filled the paper bags and I made my money. I bought my first car. My dad said, "You want a car? Fine, buy one." And I bought my first car. I bought a 69 Camaro, silver 69
what?
Camaro. When I was 15 and a half.
Oh my God.
I couldn't even drive it by myself. You can get a learner's permit at the time.
God.
You can get a learner's permit at 15 and a half. So I bought a car at 15 and a half. I paid for it. I paid for the insurance, all the upkeep on it. And I couldn't drive it unless one of my parents was with me
when I
was 15 and a half. Because they told me you can have whatever you want, but you know, you earn it. You buy it.
That's amazing. Mike, the first car I bought was a 69. Yours was a 69 Camaro.
Yeah.
The first car I bought was
a Mustang.
No, it wasn't. Oh my God. It was a 69 Cutlass Supreme.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, okay. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. And I bought it myself.
Yep.
And the thing about it was I went out, I made the money to do it. And my mom, look, she was rearing 8 knuckleheads. Okay.
She couldn't buy 8 cars for 8 knuckleheads.
Look, she couldn't buy a car for either one of us. And taking care of the household and we never lived in an apartment. We never lived in a housing development. My mom always had her own house.
You had a home.
We had a home.
You had a home.
We always had food, a roof over our head.
Necessities,
and an ass beating when it was necessary.
Oh, Yep.
Well, I have to say, I wasn't as lucky as you guys.
What do you mean?
My father gave me my first car, and I was dumb as a box of rocks getting rid of it. I had a 1962 Buick Wildcat, and it had a 465 engine in it. That car would cruise at 100 miles an hour, and I got rid of it. I kicked myself upside the head every day for getting rid of that car.
Why?
So that was my first car. It was long as my house. I mean, that it was a four-door. I mean, that thing was a boat. I mean, that was back when they had Ethyl gasoline. There was a store in Redlands called Jimmy's Gasoline. It was on the corner of Redlands Boulevard and Alabama. I don't know what's there now, but there was a place there called Jimmy's Gas. You could get gasoline for 22 cents a gallon. I never forget that. And I would get like $2 or $3 and I'd put Ethyl gasoline in that thing. And that car would just hum like a big old boat. I'm telling you, you had to dock that thing. It took up, you know, two driveways in my neighborhood. And I'm so mad I got rid of that car. I was dumb as a box of hammer. Get rid of that car, I'll tell you. I wish I had that car today.
You know, my pop, he left the military, he owned a couple of Union 76 gas stations. And everyone referred to him as Big Al. And I can remember I would work at the gas station. I would clean the tools, I'd scrub the floors. Back then your gas stations is where you went to get all your car work done. You didn't have like automotive centers or anything. You just went to the local gas station.
Oh no.
And because we were down in Oxnard, we had Fort Hueneme and we had Point Magoo. So all the military people would come to see Big Al, my dad, and he would take such good care of these guys. I mean, he was busy. Both his stations were packed all the time. And I can remember being there and cleaning tools and scrubbing floors and pumping gas. And I had a milk box that I would stand on top of so I could clean people's windshields. I was that little. And the gas, this would be the early 60s.
Okay.
Probably before 65. Early 60s, and the gas was 17 cents and 19 cents. You had regular and you had ethyl, like Dr. Demery said, regular and ethyl, and it was 17 cents and 19 cents a gallon for gasoline back then in the early 60s.
And they were making money.
Oh, yeah, Dad always made money. That's the one, William. William, you know my financial background. My dad, after that, he became a CPA. A certified public accountant, and he was very smart with money. And one of the smarter things I did was actually listen to my dad, and he taught me about finance, and he taught me about compounding interest, and how when you put money a little bit of money away now, it'll grow to be much larger later. So he's the one that got me into saving money. I didn't spend it on new cars and girls and partying and all that all the way through high school and college. I put my money away, and when I got older, I learned how to invest it. I invested it wisely, made a lot. My brother and I, we both made a fair amount of money, and we've invested it. And to this day, we're William is my investment counselor. But yeah, that was very important to me because I'm very comfortable now because of my parents' influence.
You know, and that's the thing about it: parenting versus being a guardian. Now, you can be a parent of your children, or you can be a guardian of your same children. Are you a parent, or are you just going to be somebody that, so, okay, all right, let them do what the hell they want to do or whatever it is. Parenting is a lot more skilled than that. Yeah.
It's guidance,
influence. Man, look.
Because as we go through our lives,
we
learn things by failing.
Uh-huh.
And those are important lessons. When you fail, you learn, if you're smart, you learn not to do it again.
If you're smart.
You take that wisdom because you failed, and not only does it benefit you, but if you're smart, you pass that wisdom on to your children. Anybody wants to listen to you. You coach and counsel those other people and go, listen, I did this and it really turned out bad.
Yeah.
So you should listen to me and not follow and do the same thing. Unfortunately, our children many times, they have to experience that failure for themselves before they really learn, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Right.
So you gotta let them stub their toe and bloody their nose and learn from it.
Right.
You guide them. You hope they don't lose a limb or their life in the process. But yeah, that's your job as a parent is to not just raise your children, but if there's other children around or young adults or whatever, to this day, last night I counseled a lady because I won't get into a whole long story, but her son is Mr. Milk Toast and he married a lady that is large and in charge. And that lady treats her mother-in-law horribly.
No.
Horribly.
No.
Horribly. And I told her last night, I said, you know what? Remove yourself from that situation. Okay. I know you love your son. I know you love your grandchildren, but you should never put yourself in a position where you're being abused by a daughter-in-law. No.
Right.
Just remove yourself from the system and tell your son why.
That's right.
Let him man up and fix the situation.
Hey, Mike, I'm glad you said this.
At my age, I'm still, and this gal's older than me, so I still counsel people today to the best of my ability.
Mike, hey, Mike, let's stop right there on that second right there. Look, her son has no balls.
Well,
no,
you did.
No, he has no balls. And you know what? The whole scenario.
He lets his wife treat her that horribly.
Well, guess what? What, Dr. Demery, I want you to jump on this one right now. What's the future of that marriage?